Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. There are 11 Republicans running for Congress in Utah's 2nd Congressional District, but only one of them can say he once piloted a nonstop flight around the world. Candidate Chris Stewart spent 14 years in the U.S. Air Force and after that went on to author several books and is president and CEO of the Shipley Group, which consults on energy and environmental issues and even provides counterterrorism training. He joins me now by phone to discuss his bid for Congress. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
All right. Good to have you on the show. Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for congressional candidate Chris Stewart. Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Chris, well, before we get to why you're running, I want to hear more about this flight around the world you made with the U.S. Air Force. When did you make that flight?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because that's a lot more fun than talking about politics, isn't it?
Yep.
It's been, several years, I guess. It was 95 or so. I was a young captain at the time and flying the B-1. And a lot of people wonder, how did we end up doing that? Did we set out to set the world speed record? And we really didn't. At the time, we were flying missions from the United States here over practice bombing missions over to the Middle East in different ranges and airspace over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, when we were getting ready for one of these flights, I realized, hey, we're about a third of the way around the world. Why don't we just kind of keep going and see how far we can push the crews, how far we can push the airplanes? So that was the genesis for it. We ended up taking bombs and dropping bombs off a range in Sicily and off a range in Japan up by the Aleutian Islands and then out here in the Utah Test Range. And it was a good thing. We got to test the crews, like I said, push them as far as they could go, and in the process set the world record, and it was kind of fun.
And so what are some other accomplishments from your military service, Chris? And what did you take away from that experience?
I don't think there's any greater laboratory to create leaders than the United States military. And, I mean, that's true of young enlisted men. That's true of, lieutenants and captains and generals. It's just such a great experience to learn life lessons and how to lead and how to prioritize, how to make decisions. It was a defining moment for us and my family. And I got to say, too, my wife and I, we were on our way to law school. It wasn't until my senior year of college we made this decision to serve in the military, and we have never regretted it. Those 14 years were the best years of our lives, primarily because of the friends we made and the people that we got to meet as we moved around the country and got to travel the world a little bit. What a great experience.
So, Chris, when did you decide to get into this race for Utah's 2nd Congressional District?
Yeah, me and 157 other people, right? Like you were talking about. It's never been my life's ambition to be a congressman. I'm very happy writing. I've written, like you said, 14 or 15 books, New York Times bestselling author. Life is good. I also, get to run my company, the CEO. But as I sat and watched last fall, I just feel, and I'll bet your listeners feel the same way. I just think everyone does. Our nation is at such a dangerous point. It's just a tipping point in our history. It was a lot the same reason why I decided to go into the military. I just want to serve my nation. I think this is a critical time for us. I want to serve. I want to try and help our nation at this point. And then I frankly want to come back home. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to be back in Washington for the next 20 years. That's not interesting to me at all. But I love my country like you do, like your listeners do, and I want to try and help it through what I think is just a dangerous time.
Well, why is it such a dangerous time? Why do you believe it's a tipping point?
Well, I think there's a couple things that are distressing to people, but fundamentally it comes down to, I think, one issue, and then an example of that. I think many of us feel like we have shipped too many of our freedoms. Too many of our decisions are being made in Washington, D.C. now instead of in our homes and our communities and maybe our states like our founding fathers intended it to be. And I think the best example of that, the greatest danger facing our nation right now, is our spending and our debt. And I have a degree in economics. I mean, I make an economic statement here. It's not a political statement, but it's simply unsustainable. We can't keep spending the money the way we have. Sometime in the fall of 2016, which is only 4 years away, sometime before the next presidential election, our debt-to-GDP ratio is going to be the same as Greece. And we can't reach that point and just pretend it won't matter. We can't say, yeah, but we're the United States, because we are we're driven and governed by the laws of economics like any other nation, and we get to that point, and it's going to be, I believe, just a financial catastrophe for us.
So when it comes to cutting spending, Chris, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on where the cuts should come from. And specifically, what are your thoughts on defense spending? Obviously, a diverse range of views there. But as somebody with a defense background, what are your thoughts on that specifically and other areas of the budget?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I appreciate the way you phrase that, because I think the presumption on a lot of people's part, well, you know, Chris is an old Air Force pilot and an officer, and he's going to say, well, you got to cut everywhere else, but you can't cut defense. And look, I understand we live in a dangerous world. There are nations and people who would destroy us if they could, and defense is the primary responsibility of the federal government. But I also know, having been and worked in the Department of Defense, there are inefficiencies there. We could cut the Department of Defense in some ways and still maintain that ability to defend our people. And, you know, your original question was, well, how do we cut spending and what would I cut? I would kind of turn the question and say, what would we not cut? Because I think the answer is we have to cut everything, and we have to do it in a reasonable way. I mean, we can't pull the rug out from people who are depending on Social Security, for example. As I said, we have to maintain the ability to defend this nation. But we need to cut virtually everything in some way. And I think most people are willing to accept that. I think most people are willing to approach this in a way that's, you know, wasn't doable a few years ago, because I think people sense that this is a critical time and we can't keep going the way we've been.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest joining me by phone is Chris Stewart. He's a Republican candidate running for Congress in the 2nd District. Join us on the air at 801-355-8255. Chris, you have a specific proposal when it comes to reforming the income tax. Some Republicans support a, you know, completely flat tax, but yours is a little bit different, different rates. What are you proposing?
Well, and, you know, I appreciate that some people like the flat tax, but again, it's not as simple as that, and there's something attractive about that to me as well, and I think kind of at our gut level, some of us like that, but I think ours is a little more approachable in a sense. For one thing, it's politically possible. It's very similar to the Paul Ryan plan that came out of the House of Representatives last year and this year, heavily influenced, frankly, by Heritage Foundation, which is, I think, one of the great thinking organizations in the country right now. But essentially, it's a simple rate of 10, 15, and 25%. Mm-hmm. But we suggest eliminating all of the loopholes, all of the deductions, all of the paperwork, all of the things that make it possible for people who are sometimes very wealthy and can afford to hire very good attorneys or accountants to find ways to eliminate much of their tax burden. It's simpler. It's more fair. We allow exemptions for two things and two things only, home ownership, because I think that's part of the American dream, and then private charities, because I believe private charities are way more efficient at helping people than the government. We want to encourage contributions to private charities. But other than that, it's just a simple rate, and you, if you choose to, you could do your taxes, like they say, on the back of a postcard. It would be that simple. And hey, if you like the old system, I think we leave the option of letting people stay in that if they want. But for most of us, I think the vast majority of us, we would opt for this much simpler and, I think, a much more fair tax code.
And, Chris, our time is short, but tell us a little bit about what you're doing in the private sector right now. You're CEO and president of a company called the Shipley Group.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
You know, primarily Shipley Group works with environmental policy. We try to help, for example, we help energy and gas companies go through the permitting process so they can develop sources of energy. We do some things up in Alaska along those same lines. We actually train government officials on environmental law because, frankly, they're so complicated that many times they don't understand them themselves. And then we do, as you said, Jeff, we do a little bit in anti-terrorism training for soldiers before they deploy. You know, we do things that bring a lot of value to the government. It helps them be far more efficient. And the thing with the anti-terrorism training is so important, and I'm so proud of that because, you know, as a military officer and as a guy who's got members of my family, close members of my family, who are deployed even now, I think anything we can do to keep those guys safe is a valuable thing.
Chris, we have a caller on the line for you. Lou is calling from Taylorsville. What's your question or comment for Chris Stewart?
Yeah, Mr. Stewart, why is it that you think declining marginal rates on the upper end and declining corporate tax rates have nothing to do with deficits? I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Well, all right, Lou, thanks for the call.
Well, I wanted to clarify his question, make sure I understood it I think he was asking if you reduce taxes, the assumption is, does that mean reduced revenue to the government?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, as an economist, I can show you, you know, many, many examples of reducing rates of tax, which actually increases revenue to the government. And the very easiest one to look at is the capital gains tax. It's very clear that when you reduce capital gains tax, more people enter into the market, more people are investing, and it increases significant revenues to the government by being willing to do that, which is why you have Democratic and Republican administrations who have been willing to support decreases in the capital gains tax. The income tax is a little more complex, but in many cases the same lesson applies. And my suggestion is we reduce the rates for people and we increase the tax base. We bring people who currently don't pay any taxes, because we're reaching the point 49.6% of Americans pay no federal income tax. And I just think that's unsustainable. I don't think it's healthy for our nation. I don't think it's culturally healthy. I don't think it's good for half the population to be supporting the other half. And I think we broaden the tax base by bringing more people in and having them contribute in some way, even if it's at a very low rate, which is, you know, doable for most people.
But, Chris, doesn't that amount to a de facto a tax increase on the poorest Americans?
Well, no, because we provide exemptions for the working poor. Look, I have people that I'm very close to who, for reasons you know, that they can't control. For example, I have a very close friend who's handicapped, and he's working and he's doing everything he can in life, and you know, he's not ever going to make a lot of money. And we make provisions for those folks, and we recognize that it's tough for a lot of people out there. But I think that. I think most people, and again, I'm not talking about the working poor, I'm talking about, you know, the lower middle class. Most of the people making, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year, you know, they could afford and be willing to pay a 10% income tax on that. And it's a great blessing to live here in this nation. We all feel that way, and I think most of us want to contribute to that blessing in some way.
Chris, unfortunately, our time is up, but we've been speaking with Chris Stewart. He is a Republican candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District, author and president and CEO of the Shipley Group, spent 14 years in the Air Force as well. Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time and for joining us on Politics Up Close. We look forward to catching up with you as the race goes on.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for your time. It's been fun talking with you.
Thank you.